The first reading is the New Testament reading taken from Acts. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message of God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and now he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not only seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
The second New Testament reading is taken from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and verses 19 to 26. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
The gospel reading is taken from Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like the lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified. On the third day he raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
I wish you all once again a happy Easter. Today, all churches throughout the world celebrate Easter. Orthodox churches too. Fortunately, this time they worship along with the other Anglican and Catholic churches. Wonderful day. Sunday early morning, Jesus rose from the dead. Several Sundays ago today, I don't know how many Sundays ago today, Jesus rose from the dead. All gospel writers describe about what happened on Easter morning. They give details of what happened throughout the last 1 week. 1/3 of all Gospels talk about the Passion Week. And they end up finishing the Gospel informing us that Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus died on the cross. They double-checked. A soldier pierced Jesus' side with a spear. Water and blood came, a sign that Jesus died. Joseph and Nicodemus gave Jesus a royal burial. 100 pounds of spices were used to bury, used to put on, Jesus' body, and they wrapped with the bands of cloth and they buried him. Normally, an ordinary person would have only 20 pounds of spices. For Jesus, they spent 100. They gave a royal burial. The burial was hurriedly done because the Sabbath was fast approaching. They had to finish all that well ahead of the Sabbath, which was coming at 6 o'clock in the evening. So they gave a fast burial. Some women were present at the burial site. They thought what they should do the next one day so that when they are given an opportunity, they would come and anoint the body of Jesus with some spices. Everybody returned, and the disciples went for hiding. But the women, immediately after the Sabbath was over on Saturday evening at 6, they started preparing the spices because they wanted to go early morning to anoint the body of Jesus. They came early morning on Sunday. While it was still dawn, while it was still dark, they came to anoint the body of Jesus. And they saw the empty tomb, the stone rolled away, and when they entered, Jesus' body was not there. So all gospel writers talk about empty cross, empty tomb, empty burial. Yes, Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. There's no point of going to that tomb anymore. Whenever I go home for my holidays, one of the things that I do is to visit the cemetery where my dear ones are buried. The last time I saw them was there in the graveyard. So I always go there to see them. They are not there. They are buried. Probably only their bones would be there underneath. But I go there to remember them. That's not the case with Jesus. Jesus is risen. We don't need to go to the tomb. He is with us. The risen Lord is with us. A father took his son to a cemetery. He wanted to show the graveyard. As both of them were walking, they saw a grave which was open. It was newly dug and was prepared for a burial. The son did not know about it, so he looked at his father and said, "Father, someone got out. Someone got out. Yes, Jesus got out, and therefore we will all get out. Therefore we will all get out." He got out first. I was working in Dubai, and the church where I worked was responsible for the Christian cemetery in Dubai. So I had to visit the cemetery quite often. And because of the climatic condition in Dubai, and the sand is not that strength, you would see that every grave had got a problem. You would either see crack or it might have sunk. Every grave has got a problem. So whenever I go to the grave, go to the graveyard, the cemetery, this picture comes to my mind. It is something like the eggshells which is cracked. Yes, the eggshells are slowly cracking, and it's going to be hatched. These graves are going to be hatched. Life is going to come out of this grave. Now, the women, according to Luke's account, went to the grave to anoint the body of Jesus. When they looked down, they saw two men having dazzling clothes. They spoke to them. They said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Are we looking for him among the dead?" The question comes to us this morning is, where are we looking for Jesus? Among the dead or among the living? That's the question that we all need to answer. These women, when they received this news, they ran to the disciples and said, "We heard the news that Jesus is risen." The disciples did not believe. They thought they were speaking nonsense. They were foolish. They did not give attention to it. Of course, Peter ran to the tomb, but these other disciples, 10 of them, thought that they were talking not sane things. If we hold that view, then we are still seeking Christ among the dead. If you don't believe in the risen Christ, if you don't believe in the resurrection, we are searching for Jesus among the dead. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is pointless and you are still in sins. We would be wasting everyone's time. Our faith is worthless. A theologian said, Christianity without the resurrection is not simply Christianity without its final chapter. It is not Christianity at all. What he says is very beautiful. He says that the final chapter of Christianity is not just resurrection. It is not resurrection. Don't look at that. The Christianity's final chapter is resurrection. But he says that resurrection is the core of the Christian faith. Resurrection is the core of the Christian faith. The resurrection is the hinge pin of our faith. If you remove the hinge pin, everything collapses. If we don't believe in resurrection of our Lord, then we are looking Jesus among the dead. I started receiving Easter greetings from yesterday evening. I don't know how many of them I'm going to receive on my WhatsApp. My question to all of them, are you simply greeting me Happy Easter, or are you believing in resurrection? Christians throughout the world, they may be celebrating Easter, but are they believing in resurrection? That's the question we all need to be asking ourselves. Do I believe in resurrection? Do I believe that I will also rise from the dead? If you believe in Jesus as he is rose from the dead, we will also rise from the dead. Resurrection gives us hope. They crucified Jesus, but God raised him from the dead. Last night we came here and we had Easter vigil service. We wanted to start it in the darkness. 8 o'clock still it was a little bit of light. Because resurrection came out of darkness. In the midst of darkness, Jesus rose. In the midst of darkness, the light came out. That's our Christian faith. People thought that they finished with Jesus. Jesus is gone. He is killed. His chapter is over. But God raised him from the dead. Among the darkness, in the midst of darkness, light came. In the midst of chaos, in the midst of hopeless situation, hope emerged. If you read apocalyptic literature in the Bible, you would notice all kinds of destruction, all kinds of chaotic explanation. No, sorry, all kinds of chaos. But at the end of apocalyptic literature, you would see light. You would see hope. Hope emerges out of the chaotic situation. We are now in the spring season. A week ago, all the trees that we saw here was looking dry, was looking dead. All of a sudden, we see leaves coming out. In other words, if I am looking for Jesus among the living, then I am living in hope. I am living in hope. Remain hopeful because he lives. I can face certainly today, tomorrow, and forever. Jesus' resurrection is a bodily resurrection. He is risen with a transformed body. We really do not know what kind of a body, but he is risen bodily, which is a very important one. Easter is about resurrection of the body. We say in our creed, I believe in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Why I stress this? Because we live in a world, we think about the memory stays on. Plato's understanding influenced the world pretty much. Plato's understanding has influenced even the church. They think that soul is different, soul is imperishable, soul is pure. Whatever you do in your body has got no effect on your soul. When you die, body is meant for destruction and soul is meant for eternity, and soul is all right. So when we talk about life after death, we talk about leaving this body and living in spirit. That's the idea we get. But Bible doesn't give that idea at all. Bible gives that idea that we will all rise bodily as Jesus rose from his dead. This is the understanding. We will have bodily resurrection. That's the reason Paul says in Philippians, when he comes, he will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. In other words, death has got no role in my body. Because Jesus is risen, death lost its power, lost its strength, and life has come in my body. Though I live on this world, I no longer live in my flesh, but I live for Jesus. Corinthians have got difficulty in understanding this resurrection. They had difficulty in understanding the bodily resurrection. Paul says it is like sowing the seed. It is sown. Your body is, when buried, sown. It is sown. It is sown in corruption but raised in corruption. When a life comes out of the seed, it is a miraculous work of God that life comes out of the seed. The same way when the body is sown, it comes out in life. So what he says is that it is sown in dishonor, raised in glory, sown in weakness, but raised in power. Yes, resurrection gives us hope. If I look for Jesus, the risen Jesus, then I should have the hope in me. Resurrection calls for new life. It leads us to new creation. Why did Jesus do all that? Jesus did all that to inaugurate the new life among us, to bring in the new creation. We are the new creation. We are the new life. We don't need to stay explaining resurrection. We don't need to stay understanding resurrection. We had to go beyond explanation. We had to go beyond resurrection, and we had to live the resurrected life on this earth. We have to experience resurrection in our life now. We talked enough. We talked enough. The resurrection should work in my life now. I should experience that. Do you remember the conversation Mary had with Jesus over the death of her brother Lazarus? Martha was saying, yes, yes, I know my brother Lazarus will rise from the dead on the resurrection day. It's a future event. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am standing here. If you have in me, you have resurrection in you. You don't need to wait for a day that is going to come, but you can have the risen life now itself. So the resurrection is something has to work in my life. I need to experience that resurrection. I need to live the resurrection. If I'm looking for Jesus among the dead, if I do not live this new life. Is this new life, new creation difficult? I'll bring with two illustrations and I'll close. The birds gave men an example of flight. For a very long time, looking at birds, people wanted to fly. They came up with many ideas. It started from even 14th century. They tried, and at last, men are now flying. When I first went to school, I found it very difficult to write. Hardly I learned sleeping line and standing line. Only these two things I could do it. But they asked me to write the letters. It has got curves. I could not use my hand to curve. So they came up with an idea that they would give a book, and the book will have letters in light colors. You had to write on top of it. But that also I found it difficult. So the teacher came, take my hand, and she wrote. It took months for me to learn how to write. The new life, the new creation Jesus has brought in. And the risen Lord is with us. He says that practice, I am with you. I am with you till the end of the age. And get into this new life. Have the experience of new creation. So three things I quickly brought before you. Are we looking for Jesus among the dead or among the living? If I am looking for him among the living, then I have to believe in the resurrection. Then I have to believe the hope that resurrection brings forth. Then I have to live the new life. May the dear Lord help us so that I live the resurrected life in this world. May the dear Lord bless us all. Amen. On Easter Day, we normally remind ourselves the baptism. Baptism through which we entered into this faith. On the day of our baptism, we made vows. So we are going to renew the vows today by remembering our baptism. May I ask all of you to stand? It's on a question-answer form. We will take this renewal of vows. In baptism, God calls us out of darkness into his light. To follow Christ means dying to sin and rising to new life with him. Therefore, I ask, do you reject the devil and all rebellion against God? I reject them. Do you renounce the deceit and corruption of evil?
I renounce them.
Do you repent of the sins that separate us from God and neighbor? Do you turn to Christ as Savior? I turn to Christ. Do you submit to Christ as Lord?
I submit to Christ.
Do you come to Christ the way, the truth, and the life?
I come to Christ.
May Almighty God, who has given you the desire to follow Christ, give you the strength to continue in the way. Amen. Thanks be to God.